This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, March 17th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Irish dance competition in Central Illinois. We'll get a report on a St. Patrick's Day competition from Illinois Public Radio's Charlie Schlenker. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn will unveil his long-awaited budget on Wednesday. His task, closing an estimated $11.5 billion deficit, and an income tax hike will likely be part of his plan. Sam Hudzik has some veterans of the job to weigh in.
Former Republican Governor Jim Edgar says Quinn needs to slash spending before he can gain enough credibility to raise taxes.
I don't think we can get the state back on a balanced budget and deal with our growing debt without doing both.
So far, Quinn's hinted he's likely to take that route, but former Democratic Governor Dan Walker, who Quinn worked for back in the 70s, says in the current economy, any tax increase
is a terribly, terribly bad thing to do and must be avoided at all costs.
But Walker acknowledges Quinn might not be able to balance the budget without a tax hike. I'm Sam Hudzik.
In a statement former Governor Rob Blagojevich issued, said raising taxes right now would be, quote, unconscionable. Good government groups want to cap individual campaign contributions to Illinois politicians. Legislative leaders are skeptical that will clean up the state's ethical mess. Cindy Canary of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform told a joint legislative committee on ethics reform that individual contributions should be limited to $2,400 per election, same as in federal campaigns. The committee's co-chair, Senator John Cullerton, and House Speaker Michael Manigan say limiting the amount candidates can get or parties can give would hurt in races against independently wealthy foes. Canary is part of a group announced yesterday to push the measure. Change Illinois set up a toll-free number that allows callers to be connected to their legislators to lobby for caps. The licensees for Champaign-Urbana's two ambulance companies could go up a thousandfold or more if proposals in the two cities win city council approval. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The license fees the two cities charge ambulance companies would go from the low hundreds to the tens of thousands of dollars. $20,000 a year for Champaign, $15,000 for Urbana. City officials say the current rates fail to cover the city's costs for fire department emergency medical personnel who go along with every ambulance run. And they say the new rates would come out to $10 or less per ambulance patient. But officials with Champaign-Urbana's two ambulance companies say many patients can't afford their current charges, much less ones reflecting higher city license fees. Bob Sarkar is with Pro Ambulance, which serves Provena Covenant Medical Center.
We pick up citizens who are in Medicaid or unable to pay. Mm-hmm. So we have a huge charity care and bad debt backlog that also probably applies to our partner hospitals, Carl, too.
Sarkar addressed the Urbana City Council last night. The Champaign City Council considers their proposal this evening as part of a plan to patch a hole in next year's budget. Both councils will make their final decisions later in the spring. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Caterpillar Incorporated has instituted rolling layoffs at its Pontiac plant. The move allows the heavy equipment maker to furlough the entire workforce for a time while remaining in operation. United Auto Workers Local 2096 Acting President John Wageski says the plant will shut down for the week of March 23rd and then again for the week of April 13th. Workers are also being made to take their two-week paid vacation time in July. Wageski says normally they choose what weeks to take off. Caterpillar spokesman Jim Dugan says the company has announced a wide range of actions in the last couple of months, such as laying off 20,000 workers to respond to declining profits. He said there are options which different plants can take to help cut costs. An expert on seismic activity at the University of Illinois says he doesn't buy into a recent theory that the New Madrid seismic zone could be shutting down. Professors from Purdue and Northwestern universities have used GPS technology to measure surface movement in the region, which is now at less than 0.2 millimeters a year. The researchers say the slower the ground moves, the longer it takes for the next earthquake. The last massive ones, three of them, occurred in the New Madrid in 1811 and 1812. But the director of the U of I's Mid-America Earthquake Center says those readings don't mean much since we don't understand how the mechanism is happening. Amr Al-Nashai also says those measurements shouldn't apply to a fault line, unlike any other worldwide.
The theory would actually go against them by saying that measuring the strain and seeing how low it is, there couldn't be earthquakes in this region. So instead they said, well, it is closing down. What is this definition of closing down? Do we know anywhere where earthquakes used to exist and they closed down? This is not a power plant or a factory.
Elna Shai says the latest theory also ignores the work of New Madrid researchers with the University of Memphis and U.S. Geological Survey. He says scores of scientists have determined that the soil in the seismic zone is liquefied as a result of quakes that occurred well before the 1800s and could lead to more quake activity. Elna Shai says there could be a million other explanations behind slow fault motion and that two scientists shouldn't put the extensive research of many others and safety of eight states into jeopardy. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. St. Patrick's Day makes for cliches, many dreary Danny Boys, shamrocks, green beer, and cartoon leprechauns. Irish dance often goes with the parades and boozy schmaltz. But as Charlie Schlenker reports, more than just ethnic heritage, the dance is intense competition.
No, you still have time.
Okay. Slippered feet slide, spring, and settle. A slip jig plays. In the practice room of gymnastics, etc., on Bloomington's southeast side, tween and teen girls twirl. Dance instructor Amy Elson isn't satisfied.
No. Okay, you both are a little off on that. Yeah, okay, I'll work.
Irish dance is centuries old, but has its most recent roots in the 1800s when dancing masters codified existing forms. Reels and slip jigs are done in soft shoe. Hornpipes happen in hard soles with explosive percussion. Elson says skills cross over from other dance forms, tap and ballet.
Certain positions are similar, like fifth position is similar to some of the positions we do in Irish dance, and it's just a matter of manipulating your feet in the same manner. And then they also do similar jumps, too.
But Irish dancers have to hold their upper bodies still while their feet fly. There is a lot to think about, and 13-year-old Alyssa Wilson says the judging is tough.
They look to make sure that your toes are turned out and pointed, and then when you kick, like your knees are straight, and your arms are at your side, and your posture's good. And then in hard shoe, you'll like click your heels in the air, and they look to see that you make all those and don't miss any of the hits on the ground.
Competitions are called feshes. There are seven classes, ranging from first fesh to open championship level, and several steps for each of several dances.
A lift is a change to three, what she just did, like that.
Claire Bow started dancing as a first grader 5 years ago because she liked the moves where you can make a statement.
So what you do is, like, you basically jump up and you kick up your front leg, and then your back leg goes in the back, and then you kick your back leg through, and then you land.
At age 10, Claire is only one rung down from the top class. She recently finished in the middle of the pack at the All-Ireland competition in Killarney. Claire is one of 15 dancers at the studio in Bloomington. Like quarterbacks, some record their practices and review video for bobbles and misplaced feet. There is risk of injury.
Lots of sprained ankles, and that's the most common. And then it's other things like shin splints and, you know, sprained knees and stuff like that. Pretty common one is Osgood Schlatter in your knee. It's where you get a big bump. That's what my sister has.
Like any athlete, Bo says you have to listen to your body and make sure you warm up again after taking a break. About 12 years ago, there was a big surge of interest in Irish dancing created by the River Dance and Lord of the Dance shows. Barbara McNulty owns McNulty's Irish School of Dance with locations all over the Chicago area, Rockford and Dubuque. McNulty says the Riverdance boost has faded, but it gave a permanent place to the sport and spread the discipline in many communities beyond ethnic limits.
And I think a lot of that, too, is that we have a lot of the dance studios, the regular dance studios, ballet, tap, jazz, have opened their doors to us to rent space. So we do get a lot of dancers that just have a love of dance, any kind of dance.
There is even a school of Irish dance in Mexico. And this year, for the first time, the World Championships are being held outside the British Isles, in the U.S. The popularity has attracted better athletes to the sport, And back in the practice room in Bloomington, instructor Amy Elson says the deeper talent pool has made it a living, changing dance form as those competitors try to showcase their strengths. Elson says this is not an unmixed blessing.
It is evolving a lot into some things that I don't appreciate as much.
Elson says sometimes people forget where the dance came from as they create new moves. There's one called a bicycle. The dancer jumps and whips the legs forward and back. Some track runners do this too. And Elson says the jumps are soaring ever higher.
I remember competing against one girl who was the world champion, and she literally jumped over my head while I was standing right next to her, so that was intimidating.
The young girls in McLean County, dreaming of world championships, are already thinking like athletes. Claire Bow proves out the old saying, peak performance is as much mental as physical.
You kind of zone out everything else and you're just kind of, it's, you're dancing, you know, and it's just like you, and sometimes if you're nervous, you just kind of have to definitely zone out everyone, like you're the only one, and like you're practicing at home because that's when you're most relaxed.
And behind the embroidered costumes, curly locks, and love of the music, there's a long time in exercise clothes, sweating with steely determination. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Yeah, okay, so the problem is the bit right before the point and point, I think you have from there on, right, you're just three...
In the forecast for the region, expect sunny skies today, the high around 72. Partly cloudy tonight, the low around 48. Partly sunny tomorrow, a chance of showers. Cooler, the high around 62. Breezy and colder tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers in the evening, the low around 35. And wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Cooler and mostly sunny Thursday, the high around 52. Mostly clear Thursday night, the low around 32. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, March 17th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.